This is the chapel service for October 27th, 1961. Dr. McKay is bringing our message.
President Staley requests that I announce that all seniors are invited to the first senior coffee hour next Wednesday, November the 1st, immediately following chapel. He says all the faculty will be present and adds the guarantee the coffee is free. I think one of the most immediate returns the leader of chapel gains is from hearing you sing at your best one of our great worship hymns. This morning, hymn number 2, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. Let's sing it worthily. Almighty God, our Father, with what gladness and expectancy we come into the appointed place. For the experiences of other days and other years assure us that if we come together in Thy name, we will be conscious of Thy presence and blessed by Thee. As we contemplate Thee, the wonder of Thy love and care for us, we feel our own inadequacy and unworthiness and recognize that sin all too often soils our being so that even our worship would be entirely dishonoring unless Thou didst come to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Even now, we would open mind and heart to Thee. We would be indeed the humble-minded and the bowed in spirit, that we might become the blessed man who in gladness can go forth to serve Thee. We thank Thee for the high privilege of service through prayer. And so we pray together for all the children of man the world around. Many in this presence will lift up names and persons around the world. And all of us unite to pray that the peoples of the world may have the ministry of Thy Spirit, whether it be to convict or comfort or guide according to their need. And our Father, may Thy blessing be upon the leadership nationally and internationally in our world, that men may understand Thy wisdom and may know that love divinely begun ought to possess and govern and guide in all the relationships of man. Our deep desire is that this worship hour may honor Thee as we wait to receive from Thee the blessing Thou would grant. In Jesus' name, amen. The theme of the worship may be stated as the title of a song, Teach Me to Live. It is with the problem of life that Jesus dealt in the 15th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. In that familiar passage, we find three young men. The speaker, and the two appearing in the story. And these three young men represent three ways of living and should offer to us instruction for our own way of life. And Jesus said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance in riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the field to feed swine. And he would fain have filled himself with the husks which the swine did eat, but no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. And when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto his father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants to him and asked him what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and entreated him. And he, answering, said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friend, if he had any. But as soon as this thy son was come, who hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And the father said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. You recognize, as I do, that when truth is set to music, it comes to us at its best. This morning, I am happy to present to you our soloist, Mrs. William Cooper, formerly a soloist in the First Baptist Church of Atlanta, now soloist in the First Baptist Church of Winston-Salem. She will sing this theme for us now, a tremendous prayer, teach me to live.
Sit quite alone, idly dream.
Redeemer, my Savior, teach me how to live. The teacher in the lesson before us this morning makes three things immediately clear. The prodigal son was a spendthrift with life and wasted his substance. The elder brother was a miser and starved his soul. Jesus Christ was a merchant prince who invested his life in the life of the world and became the supreme example and life giver for all men. The prodigal had as his ruling motive selfish desire. And selfish desire soon led him to bankruptcy. His bankruptcy came through dissolute living. But anybody who is interested primarily in what he can get from life and whose ruling passion is selfish will find himself also bankrupt. And it can happen to us as students and teachers as quickly as for a young man in a far country. The prodigal son was a miser and hoarded all he could lay his hands upon. I suppose he had improved discipline so far as the handling of bodily appetites and so far as the sins that were disgraceful in the public eye. But so far as his heart was concerned, the man starved to death. Because when he built a wall around himself to hoard all that he possessed, his selfishness robbed his soul. But Jesus Christ, with all the resources of divinity, invested his life in a dream of a redeemed society. He put his life at the disposal of humankind, and he did it at great cost for himself. But interestingly enough, the greatness of Jesus was not only revealed by his habit of life investment in other lives, but maybe also the practice was the thing that enabled the Father to ascribe unto him the honor and position that was equal to his own. We are face to face with the problem every day, how to live. I take it that the ruling motive of one who came not to be served, but to serve, is the guide for us. And the enrichment and victory for which we long can come at no small price for his life investment, included the disgraceful death on the cross. Wherefore, God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. Our only chance for greatness is through life investment. It was this truth that St. Francis of Assisi was seeking after when he wrote the great song to which we now will listen. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the companionship of the Holy Spirit, our convictor and comforter and guide, be and abide with each one, now and evermore.